And this morning, we just want to zero into the Word of God. Please sit down. God bless you. Thank God for those online and those of us on ground. We just want to give God all the glory. Thank God for Mount Zion and the leadership and the privilege of standing before you. I'm not better than any, but thank you, Pastor, Senior Pastor, and all of you who have vested the confidence in Victor and allow me to stand up before you this morning. But I want us to go together to the Word of God and hear God and receive strength. There's a song I like to sing. We have come to the Lord. We have come to the Lord. We have come to the Father. We have come to renew strength. We have come to the Lord. We have come. Oh, we have come to the Father. We have come to renew strength. Touch somebody by your side and say, I've come to renew my strength in the Lord. Turn to the other person on the other side and say, I really mean what I'm saying. I've come to renew my strength. Hallelujah! Let's go to the scripture and read some few scriptures. Because of time, I'm just going to run. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to waste your time. We want to read, first of all, in Matthew chapter 28, from verse 16 to 20. If you are there, say, I'm there. Say, amen. Or you look up on the screen and read with us. Amen? I want us to read it together. Let's go. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power in heaven. Go ye, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. That's the Word of God. We're going to read again in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read from 36 to 38 together, and that will be the last one. And then we will flow by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Are you there? Matthew? Let's go back to the screen and read together. Let's go. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they offended and were scattered abroad as sheep having no. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That he will send forth laborers in the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for the last one, let's read Acts of the Apostles. Only one verse there. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You have it? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's go. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witness both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Say, Lord, make me a witness. Lord, make me a disciple. Lord, make me your masterpiece. Amen. And so with these scriptures we've read, listening to our pastor Strindier started, And Pastor Emmanuel, since the year started, we've been challenged. We've been encouraged to pray for one, to follow the GPS for 2023. And I want to ask again, is your GPS working? You know, sometimes that stubborn piece of equipment is stubborn. It doesn't work well. It works clockwise. It doesn't go the way you want actually designed to do. It takes you up before it brings you to the right place. But my question this morning is, since 2022, January, we're in February. Before you know it, the year will be over. Where are we? Is your GPS working? Are you working with it? As we are under this cloud, and God has been blessing us and encouraging us and showing us his masterpiece plan and program for our lives, what are we doing? This morning, as I'm going to flow in my message, I want to wrap up things and then go into the message. Our brother Steve is going to help me this morning. I was led to bring him into my message, and because of time, I will give him time to give us a little story that I want to tie into the scriptures we have read and the message we flow this morning. Please listen to Brother Steve. Brother Steve, please come. Why not clap your hands up, Brother Steve comes up. Hallelujah! He's one of the preachers this morning. Good morning, sir. My big brother.
Thank you very much. We were at Victor and Faith out the other night for a fellowship, and we were telling God stories, and this one has always been one of my favorite. Back in 2003, we had just left Faith Farms and had started a halfway house in Naples, Florida, and Peter Wagner and Cindy Jacobs and Chuck Pierce and all those people, they had the prayer center at the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, and they put on a deliverance seminar, and Sandy and I decided to go. And I had graduated from college in Greeley, Colorado, and I had a really good friend back then that he and I were great friends when we were both still sinning. And then and then we moved to Florida and we got saved, and then through some emails that we shared, we got separated. And so when we went back to Colorado Springs for that seminar, we were not getting on well, and I just had decided in my mind that I would not call him. I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to call him. But the Lord would not leave me alone. He just would not leave me alone. So Sandy and my mom were going shopping, and so I called the guy, and I said, can we have lunch? And he said, no, I don't have time for lunch. So I said, well, I'm buying, so can we have lunch? And he said, oh, yeah, we can. So when I saw him coming across the parking lot, I knew his name was Colin, and I knew him for a really long time, and he was really an inspiration to me when we were in school together, and he was one of the instructors. But I could tell coming across the parking lot that he was not well. And so he said, when he came in and he sat down and we talked a little bit, and he said, I've joined AA, and I have confessed that I'm an alcoholic, and I'm trying to do some right things. And I said, that's great, because that's the work I've been doing for a while. So anyway, we talked some more, and I told him about this conference that we were going to go to that was almost a month away. And so I said, I'd really like you to come to this conference with me, because it was about sex addictions and some different kinds of deliverances that I thought were appropriate. And he said, well, how much time is that? And I said, well, it starts on Thursday and Friday and part of the day Saturday. He said, oh, no. Oh, no. He says, I could never devote that much time to something like that right now. He says, I have to work. He says, I don't have any money. And we just can't do that. I can't do that. So I get this unction, and I sent some mental calculations in my head, and I said, well, what if I paid you to go? What if I paid you to come to church with us?
If I pay you to go to a conference where you go to sit down and hear the word of God and not to go to work and then listen to what he said.
So the conference, he said, I said, I'll give you $250 if you'll come to do the seminar with me. And he said, and I said, do you want, and he says, okay, well, I would do that. And he said, I'll come with an open mind.
I will come with an open mind.
And this, that was quite, so the conference is almost a month away now. So later I went to the Bible store, I bought him a Bible, and had his name engraved on the embossed on the front of the Bible, and I left it apart in the door. And I never saw him again until the first day of the conference. And Sandy, when you tell Sandy knew Colin, and he knew his lifestyle and all that. So when I told her that I had paid him to go to church with us, her eyes kind of rolled back in her head like, like, oh no. So anyway, I'm trying to get through this quickly, you can tell. But so on the day, first day of the conference, here he comes across the parking lot, carrying the Bible that I gave him. And
open heart.
He came. Cindy Jacobs was the first conference speaker. And she preached what she preached. This is 2003, so this is a while back. And so at the end of her message, she does an altar call, and Colin goes forward. Wow. Colin goes forward, first altar call. And if you know anything about Peter Wagner's altar workers and how they did all that, they're very organized and they're very dedicated, and people came around Colin and they ministered to him for a very long time. And when he came back, he says to me, "Boy, I really needed that," he said. And I said, "Well, can you share a little bit?" And he said, "I've been a participant in 14 abortions." And he said, "I just learned that one day I'll meet all of them kids." And so we went through that was touching my heart. So we went through the conference. Saturday came, he had to go. We were supposed to do a cookout the next day at my nephew's house. And I never saw him again. So it's about 2 weeks later, his mother calls me that she had found him on his bed in his apartment in a coma. And they had taken him to,
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So she got him in the hospital. She called me after he'd been in the hospital 7 days, still in a coma. He's not come out of coma. And I said, "Well, if he comes out of the coma and would like to talk to me, I would really like to talk to him." So I didn't hear any more. It was probably another 3 weeks or so. This woman called me and she says, "You don't know me," but she says, "I've been with Colin in the hospital, and he came out of his coma for about 4 days. And she said, all he talked about for that time was you and the conference and that he'd met Jesus."
All he talked about.
And a couple of days, by the time she called me back, he had already passed. So his liver was completely shot.
Bless
so
you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my co-preacher this morning, brethren. We are in a time and season God is fashioning and preparing his church for the end time business. For the program that he has programmed for the church. While you were saved and not when you were saved, he took you to heaven. He left you and me here so that we will occupy for him. We will reach men like this man. Couple weeks to his dying day, a man paid him not to go to his job but to go and hear the word of God. And when he came with an open heart. Our pastor says, pray for one, love one, care for one, reach out for one, just one. And when you do that sacrifice, he, God, will do his own part. How many of us are doing our own part today? Pastor Emmanuel came and gave us the steps down and told us all about it. And we've read it that we have been vested with power. Touch yourself and make your muscle. I've been given power. Woo! I like the way Pastor did it. Pastor shook his hand and said, "Look." Hey, touch somebody by yourself and say, "God has given me power." It's not to knock somebody down. It's not to kick your chicken or whatever. Great, like my sister Jen, is power to be his messenger. His power to win one soul at all cost. Reach that one in the hospital, in the marketplace. I mean, wherever you are, in the Walmart. I mean, in the doctor's appointment. Reach that one. Ask him about his soul. Pay the price. The church is at ease in Zion. I thank God yesterday night how our daughters brought down the glory of God in this premises. And we enjoyed it in Mount Zion. The brethren, Mount Zion is being equipped to do what? To reach one. To reach the perishing. If this man had not been reached by our brother Steve, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he would have been a dead man and gone. And he will go to face God's judgment with 14 abortions or whatever he said he had done. There are many souls that pass us every day that come our way, and God has brought us into this GPS, brought us under this cloud of his glory, positioned us in faith, and now for us to reach out. I want to thank Brother Steve for helping me, because he almost preached my message. There are two major, important, serious, significant programs that was on the heart of Jesus when he was here on earth. And his disciples were rolling their eyes on him, hearing him saying it over and over again, but they did not tap into it. They did not get it right. And the church today is still not getting it right. We read the scripture in Mark, we read in Matthew, that when he saw the multitude, he was not seeing their jewelries. He was not seeing what they own or what they have acquired, their degrees. He was seeing their internal value, their end result, where they will leave this world, leave everything they have acquired to go and spend for all eternity. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Oh, he said, pray for laborers. And laborers are very few. So many here, and they claim to be laborers, but they're not laborers. They are just there to fill their stomach and answer their names. But what are these two important programs Jesus was after? Number one, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, if you could be there with me, please. Matthew 28, verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. When the praise and worship was trying to take us to a place of worship yesterday and even now and every day, do you truly worship? The Bible says worship is what my mother-in-law, when she came to be with us here, said, there is nothing else God deserves, God wants from his creature than to worship him. Worship God in your soul, in your spirit. And when you do worship God like that, he communicates with you. He comes close to you. He unburdens. He downloads his heart. He downloads his will. He downloads his purpose. He downloads his secret. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And so one of the most important, when Jesus was here on earth and he tried his best to convey to his crowd, was worship God. We have many in the church that has come, and during worship their hearts are 3 million miles away, thinking about that, talking about that, caring about that, and only just their mouth moving and maybe their body. When is this thing going to be over and let's go? But it's worth eternity. It weighs more than just let's have it. Just let's entertain ourselves. In Exodus chapter 4 verse 31, please could you give me that scripture there? Let's see in the Old Testament that worship was also so important all the way, all through the Bible. I can give you scriptures where God deserves nothing but true worshipers who will worship him in truth and in spirit. And he said, and let's read together. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he... they bowed down their heads and worshipped. Today, pride and arrogance has made so many in the church, their design clothes, the cost of what they wear on the body, has made it so difficult for them to fall down on the ground and bow down and say, Lord, have your way. Lord, may your will be done. And that's why I thank God for Mount Zion. Now sometimes you see some of us here rolling on the ground. We're not kidding. We are pouring out our heart in worship. For it is there in worship you fulfill one of the programs God has programmed you for. Worshipping God. So many worship their money. So many worship different kinds of things. And they give God just a little room. Mount Zion is calling you this year to devote time to worship God. He said when they saw it, when they heard, what happens as you hear? And when God visited you and testified, there are some of us, since last year, we've not testified of anything God has done. I thought in my mind when Steve was saying that story, what will Sandy be saying when the husband comes home with saying, out of our paycheck, I've already moved out 200 and something for something. Huh? Is this man crazy? Is he in the right mind? Paying somebody to come to church? Yes. If she thinks like that, it's okay. It's human. We have our human needs. But he was designing that man for eternity. He was preparing him for his last hope. The Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? If that was the only money remaining in Steve's pocket, he did the right thing. If you believe he did the right thing, raise up your hand and say glory to God. He did the right thing, spending it for a soul. As he told another person that doesn't even know Steve, he said, on his dying bed, he told him the story of how he went to a program. He told him about the man who paid for him to go to that program and how he met the Lord. And he became a changed man. And now he's on dying bed, ready to go into eternity. Every day we get up on the bed, some of us don't even appreciate you are waking up from the bed. There are some who get up from the bed. They try to get up, but they wouldn't get up. They died in the night. They passed away. But you and me, we spring out of the bed and we say some three popcorn prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship. I'm going to digress that worship into 3 points, but before then, let me give you the second point. I will also digress on it, and then I will wrap up. The second most important program in God's heart is go ye. Reach the lost. Reach souls. We read it in the scripture, and there are more scriptures here. Talking about his heartbeat for us to go ye in the world and preach the gospel. Sometimes we get to where we're supposed to go. We avoid it for one reason or the other. Or we ignore it. We don't need to ignore it, brethren. Say one word. The Holy Spirit and the power of God in you will convey that message. It will back that message. He says, if we don't warn them, one day we will stand before him to give account for their souls. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 46, 47 and to 49, please. Can we just read that alone and then we just flow? Acts 13. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts. Is our media there? Thank you. Amen. Let's read. For so had the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee, and that thou should unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified. Amen. And throughout all the region, hallelujah, could it be said in Cleveland that the word of God is published in all the regions, that all the churches in Cleveland carry this mantle and this burden that is on Mount Zion to reach Cleveland and win Cleveland to God? You see, they gladly received it, and not just for entertainment, not for pretext, not for hypocrisy. You know, when we came to know the Lord newly, Mama Kazaya and some of you are daddy in the Lord, and every one of you, you remember in those 70s, when you become born again, we get that scripture union little, Jesus saves. So when you're walking to the office, you see everybody, Jesus saves. Mama Rachel, know what I'm talking about. That's not what God is about. He wants you to tell him how you got that saved. Jesus, how does Jesus save someone? How can he save? The word of God needs to be published, need to be preached, need to be driven like a vehicle, need to be moved intentionally. Children of God, it's time for us to guide our loins and rise up to take this word of God to the perishing, to the unsaved, your unsaved children, your unsaved husband, your unsaved neighbor. Oh, shoppers by your side. I remember I am Pastor Emmanuel. We entered into Walmart to get some drinks or something for a program. And here was a man and the wife. They were looking at us and said, hey, we were in Africa to do missions. I think they are talking, they are from Africa. They are from Africa. Immediately we just connected and we started sharing the word of God right in the Walmart. And by the time we finished on the aisles, we prayed for them. And do you know what happened that day? When we finished and we were going, Shadrach was with us. And it struck me, he said, you would have taken their address. Do you know, I turned around and checked all the aisles. I couldn't find them again. I tried my best. And Pastor Emma was asking me, what? I said, I couldn't find them again. The time is now. The Bible says the appointed time is now. God is calling us. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late for some people. For me or for you. For me or for you to convey it. And for somebody to hear it and be saved. That's the urgency. The church is called to worship. It's an essential ingredient in the life of the church to worship God in faith. As we read, they said, the Bible said, they bowed down. They that believed, they bowed down their heads. Hallelujah. And worshiped. That shows that they had their faith. There was faith in them that made them bow down and worship. Number two ingredients there was the spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 verse 23 and 24. Could we just read that, please? John 4, 23, 24. Thank you. So let me, God bless you and all the media. Let's read. But the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on in our world today. People pretending to be what they are not. But Mount Zion is not designed for that. We're designed to be real. We're designed to be original. We're designed to tear down, bring down this flesh and say, Lord, have your way. That worship him, not worship me, not worship my style or my vigor or my structure or what I think I have. He says, worship him in spirit and in truth. These two ingredients are so important in our worship. When we come worshiping God, it's not a time to look at my brother or my sister. If he feels fine or what he does or how he looks at me, it's time to lust in the spirit before God. Worship him as if nobody else is there to worship. Knowing that one day it will be you and him. I said my mother-in-law used to say that the sacrifice God wants is worship. Our true worship is his food. When you worship him, it pleases his heart. Brethren, they that worship must. It's not an introduction, may or if they like. It says they must worship him in spirit and in truth. So faith, spirit, and truth must be in our worship. Yesterday when we were worshiping here, oh, I just want to thank God for all the vessels he used, the women, the wailing women and the praise worship and everything that went on yesterday. I was there. I melted down there. I was crying like a baby there. I was saying, Lord, look, Lord, look. I was just lost in the spirit. Brethren, not in pretext, not in hypocrisy, but in true worship. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, the Bible brings us a little story about the two people that went into the temple to worship. The other guy was there saying, I'm not like that guy. You know, I pay my tithes. I do my. And the Bible said that at the end of it all, the Lord said this parable. That man who stood far off and said, have mercy on me, O Lord. I'm a sinner. He said he went home because his prayers reached heaven. Not like that man, the publican, who was claiming his rights, saying what he does. So, brethren, this morning, God is calling us to truly worship him. And when we get the fuel in worship, we are fueled for service. We are fueled to do something. We are not fueled to just enjoy it for ourselves. We are fueled to reach out so that on that last day, you will say, blessed servant, come into your rest because you served me, because you reached out for me, because you did something. And the church must do the work. That is why he says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. And I have here a question. Why should the church go? Why should the church go? Because they have been empowered. Because they have been saved. They have been chosen. A man in the pit cannot save one in the pit. A blind man cannot lead a blind. They too will fall into a ditch. And that is why you that is now received your sight, you that is out of the pit, God is calling on you, the church. Where we have in the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, where he's commissioning his church, he's calling us and saying, lo, I am with you always. He gave us an authority. He gave us a license. He gave us what should I call it? A missionary in Iraq was saying that I have a mandate from God that has been enshrined in my soul, and I don't care if I die. He's a medical doctor. He's working in the hospitals there, but he's a born-again child of God, and he never spares any chance. And any slightest mistake for those Islamic extremists knowing who he is, they will kill him. But he says, I'm not afraid, for I know who I believe. And I'm persuaded that he will keep me to accomplish what he wants me to do, and he will not let me die before my time. And so, church, this morning, I'm encouraging us that why must the church go? Because Christ Jesus paid the price for those sinners, for those souls. They are so precious to the Father. Back home, we used to hear people say, it doesn't matter if he dies. I want to tell you that it doesn't matter if they die without Christ. Imagine if that man did not confess his sin and died with those kind of heinous sins. On his dying bed, he would have been groaning for the judgment that is coming before him. But he said, thank God that through Steve's paying my salary for those weeks, he brought me out to Jesus, where Jesus' blood was applied to my soul, and now I am free. God has commissioned us. Jesus has sent us. And he says that everywhere you go, he is with you. Can you imagine it? Can you close your eyes for a moment and say, so somebody is here with me. Wherever I am, even in my bedroom, even when I'm in a difficult place, everywhere I am, he is with me. And as you do that, say, thank you, Lord, that you are with me. Can I hear that? Thank you, Lord. That. And when he's with you, he says, I will give you the strength. I will give you the power. I give you the wisdom. I will give you the knowledge. Number two, because he is with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Can we have only that one, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. If you have it, please read for me. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's read. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We're in a time when we have received so much from God and it is just lying dormant. It's time for us to use the grace God has invested in you and in me. It's time to release the treasure. Because he has given us power. And Jesus is saying now, I am with you even to the end of the age. Hey, what more assurance do we need? To reach one in this first quarter of the year. And I was thinking it. I said, Pastor, it's not just reaching one for this year. I'll reach one and I'll reach next one and I'll reach next one by the grace of God. Lord, give me the grace. Every morning I cried and said, Lord, give me not just one. Hallelujah. Because he has given us power, he has commissioned us, and is there with us to, as an executive, to execute. And the Holy Spirit himself, in Acts 5:32, we're not going there, you could read it at home. There, the Holy Spirit himself is at work in you. Hallelujah. to direct you, to give you words to say, to enlarge your heart in love, to forget that your next plate of meal and pay, like Brother Steve's story. Say, let me pay for that soul. Let him get free. Let him hear God. And there's something that man said. He said, I'm going to come to that conference because of what you have done, with open mind. Brethren, sometimes we preach the gospel to some people and it locks their heart. They don't open their heart because of the way we give it to them. If you don't repent, you perish. Jesus is coming soon. I remember when we repented newly in the Bible school in Enugu, we said, repent or perish. Jesus is coming soon. Repent or perish. Jesus is coming. Hey, it's easy said. But he needs to see you that you are saved also. He needs to feel it. And you need to let the Holy Spirit lead you and help you to communicate. Why must the church go? Because the time is very short. You say, now is the time of salvation. Now is the day. Tomorrow may be too late. If that man was not reached, who knows what would have happened after 3 months, after 3 weeks. The church must unite with one another and carry this word and do this work with burden and passion. Take it with passion. Not see it like a burden and say, oh, how can I do it? You are not the one to do it. It's God's business. Do your own part and God will do his own part. Can I hear a better amen? Amen. And in closing, why must the church do witness? The church has a reward when they do their own part. They have their reward in this life and in the world, in the life to come, everlasting life. Hallelujah. One of my brother, he said, Brother Victor, don't envy me in heaven because my crown will be so beautified because of the souls I won. I'm in this business to go in. And this brother Sunday will go day and night. Every day he goes on evangelism. He reaches out. He has a program. He's a worker. He has his own job. But he has a designated time in his life that he goes to reach out to people. You and me this morning, we have no excuse. As we worship, God fuels us. God wants us to receive that strength and not just consume it for nothing. He wants us to use it to reach others, seek souls, reach them for him. And that is why he says in Acts that you will be witness for me in this place, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the world. Hallelujah. And that's why I thank God for Mount Zion today. And we are not only here now. We are reaching out and going to Burundi and other places. How many of us remember these places in prayers? How many of us remember our mission department and our departments that are reaching out to souls? Brethren, we have a task. We have a calling. We have a mandate. God calls us in worship, and when we worship, we go to work. Hallelujah. Calls you to worship, and when we worship, we go to work for him. What shall it profit a man if we shall gain the whole world and lose our soul? And what can a man give in exchange of his soul? Nothing. The Bible says nothing. The goodness of God is the reason for our obedience and not an opportunity to disobey him. The goodness of God. The goodness of God to you and me is for us to obey him and not an opportunity, because he's not there with a cane and say, hey, you need to do it this way. You must do it. You must do it. We shouldn't take it as a privilege and opportunity to just, well. You remember that student in school who does not take his studies serious, and when the exams come, he fails. May God help us not to fail, in Jesus' name. And so in closing this morning, I want to encourage every one of us that these two components that was the burden in the heart of Jesus when he was about to leave, that as we worship him, we will also go to work. We will go in your imaginary. Imagine today, Lord, somebody has prayed. He said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Give me a soul today, Lord. Give me a soul today. Can we bow our head this morning? My question to you this morning is this. Do you know the program of God? Are you following the program of God? Is this the heartbeat of God? We've been challenged in this house. We've been given the GPS. Can you open your heart, open your mouth now and say, Lord, help me to take it serious. Help me to go deep. Help me to be true in worship, in my spirit and in truth. I don't just want to be superficial. I don't just want to take this thing just like that. And at the end of this year, I'll just sing like the other year. Now, by the time this year will be ending, you will say, by the grace of God, this soul was won because Jesus lives in me. Because I obeyed. Because as a church, I went. He said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. And we see the result here. As you bow your head now, can you talk to the Lord? Can we talk to the Lord in a few minutes as I summarize with prayers? Can you say, Lord, help me? May all these words not just come on deaf ears. Say, Lord, I'm going to pay my own price for this. I'm going to go all the way.